Good morning, everyone. Oh, that way. I know there's only like six of you out there, but come on. Good morning, everyone. Awesome. Well, it is great seeing you here this morning. We are continuing in our study of the book of Acts, and today we're hitting chapter 3. So if you want to turn to chapter 3, we're going to be going verses 1 through 12, or 1 through 11 is probably where we'll stop today. This is a great passage of Scripture. It's where Peter heals a lame beggar. I saw one guy that was preaching on this, and he entitled it A Lame Reason to Share Christ. And I just that's kind of a cute way to say it. But this thought of how God brings people into our lives and the really neat things that happen. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, and we're going to talk about why God brings people into our lives and how when we give a helping hand, God does some really neat things. So, I guess my first question to you this day is, do you enjoy helping people? Do you enjoy helping people? I find that as, basically a universal thought is that we all enjoy the opportunity to help people. And what we find is that many times when we help people, God has a deeper reason than we even realize. So we're going to look at that today, and we're going to look at how do we really help people. So point one to the sermon is going to be the way that we really help people is we look for people that God intersects our life with. We look for people. We go, why, God, have you brought this person into my life at this time? Now, let's start reading here, and we'll see how God does this with Peter. It says, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3:00 p.m. So what I want you to see here is this is just a normal day. It starts off with this thought of one day. Just one day, just a typical, normal day, John and Peter are going about doing what they do. Now, they have received Christ. They are a Christian now, but there's not First Baptist Church of Jerusalem to go to. I mean, there's no Christian churches yet. And so, what happens here is they continue to go to the temple because that's where you worship God. Christianity is just a following of what they learned as their life as Jewish people is that one day there's going to be a Savior. They found the Savior, but they're still coming to the temple. Now, in those days, the typical practice is there was a sun-up sacrifice. So when you get up in the morning around 6 o'clock, you would go to the temple and you could do a sacrifice then. Then there was this midday prayer. And then there was a sundown sacrifice. So Peter and John have come to the temple as they do every day to this time of prayer. Now, I'm betting they come there going, who are you going to put in my path today? Is it going to be somebody while we're worshiping? Is it going to be somebody while we're praying? Is it going to be somewhere? There's just this expectation that they had in their typical day as they were moving about. Now, verse 2, it says, now. Now, it says at this time. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple court. So once again, here's someone else coming along, and it is a typical day for them. Now, they're not a typical person. They're lame. It says they've been lame since birth. We'll find out later in scriptures, they're at least 40 years old, at least they're older than 40. So for 40 years, they've been on this earth and they haven't been able to walk. In fact, their typical day is somebody carrying them to the temple, carrying them to this gate called Beautiful. So keep this in mind. What we'll talk about in a second is that the Bible sets up this beautiful picture of here comes Peter and John doing their typical thing, and here comes the beggar being carried doing his typical thing, and there's going to be a point where they intersect. Now, before we get to that point where they intersect, it says they're being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. Now, I just like the name of it, you know, the temple gate called Beautiful. But what does this mean? If you were in Jerusalem at that time, temple area would really take up about a fourth of the city. I mean, it was a big complex. You had the temple, but radiating out from the temple were different courts, and different courts had different kinds of people that would be allowed to go forward and forward and forward. The outer court would be called the court of Gentiles. You know, that's where everybody could be. If you were a Gentile, if you were a Jewish person, you could be in this outer court. Then there was a dividing wall. We hear about it in other scriptures that Jesus tore down the dividing wall. The dividing wall was that place where Gentiles could not pass. You had to be a Jewish person to go through that next gate into what was called the court of women, because there men and women who were Jewish could come in, and there were some things there in that court. Then there was another court past that called the court of men. Only men could pass through to that. Then there was a court where the priest could go. And then there was the final, the Holy of Holies. So you had these radiating out courts that came out. And like I said, at this dividing wall, they were very particular about who went through. In fact, the Roman government had given the Jewish people the right to kill Gentiles who came in and said, I don't care what you say, I'm going into to the temple area. I mean, it was a law that you had to be Jewish, and there were actually signs up that said, do not pass here unless you're a Jewish person. And so this is where all the things were happening at these gates, and they don't know which gate was called the Beautiful Gate. Some people think it's a gate called the Gate of Nicanor, which was this huge 50-foot gate made of Corinthian bronze. Other people think there was a place called the Double Gates that would have been this beautiful, ornate, double-gated area. But whatever it is, one of the gates that was sitting there in this dividing wall was where the beggar was taken every day to sit and beg. Now, he would want to go around those times of sun up, midday prayer and sacrifice, because that's when the most people are going to be there. The gate is where, most people are going to kind of come through. So he's going to set up right there at the gate, and he's going to beg for money for his needs. So we have this typical thing going on that John and Peter are coming this way. The beggar is coming this way. They set the beggar down, and then in verse number three, well, before we get to verse number three where he sees them, they intersect, right? This is where it starts. An interesting thing is that this connection that the beggar and John and Peter are going to have is going to be a God-ordained intersection. It's going to be a divine intersection. It's going to be something where God has taken two lives and has brought them together. So before we get to what they do, let's talk about that in our lives. Does God do that in your life? Does God intersect your life with someone else's life? Is there that picture of someone coming this way and you coming this way, and there's going to be a point where the two of you meet? I was reading a pastor named Tommy Nelson, and he said his idea of the Christian life sometimes is Forrest Gump. In Forrest Gump, you had kind of that feather that floated around, and it kind of symbolizes Forrest would just kind of fall into things. He would fall into going to war. He would fall into being starting a shrimp company. He would fall into a ping pong thing that's going to get him in front of the president. It was just this idea that things were going to happen. The way Tommy Nelson said is, faithful people get lucky. Faithful people get lucky. The picture is, if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, and we talked about the last couple of weeks, if we're in prayer, if we're reading scripture, if we're encouraging each other, then what's going to happen is as we're faithful, God's just going to start directing us to people that need to hear about him. It's this beautiful, beautiful thought of God has almost a tapestry where each thread is kind of coming from different direction to make this beautiful picture. And you're in that picture, and I'm in that picture, and we're moving forward to other people. Can you think about how you got to where you're at today? Did God intersect your life with another godly person? Did you just kind of look and say, God, that was just an incredible coincidence that happened exactly like that? Well, it's not a coincidence. You know, it's this beautiful picture that God intersects our lives with other people. You know, I look at my own life, and, you know, as a youth, I was at a church called First Baptist Church of Union City, Tennessee, and there was an education director. We had an education director. He was over all the Sunday school stuff, and one day the youth pastor said, let's go to summer camp, and he said, I need extra adults, and the education pastor said, well, I'll go to summer camp with you, and so his name's Gary Williams, and Gary went to summer camp with us that summer. I got to spend some time with Gary as like a, you know, I was a junior in high school. And at that camp is where I just really said, man, I feel like God's going to do something in my life. Fast forward, I'm in college. I'm a senior in college. And all of a sudden, one day, I get a phone call from Gary Williams. Now, what I didn't know is that Gary had moved to the same city where I was going to college, and he was what we call a director of missions, where lots of different churches, he helps lots of different churches. And one of them, one day, just called him and said, hey, Gary, we need a college student to come and be a youth pastor at our church. And the first person that Gary thought of was me. Now, I hadn't talked to Gary, you know, in probably 4 years. I didn't even know he was in the same town I was in. But he knew that I was there. And suddenly, God just did this thing where I'm living my life. I'm just going about doing what I'm doing. I'm being faithful there at the college. Gary's living his life. You know, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. But all of a sudden, God said, I need you to take Blake and connect him to this church. And so he called me, he said, Blake, are you interested in being a youth pastor? Now, for all he knew, you know, I might be, you know, completely turned my back on Christianity at that time. He didn't know, but, you know, I got my number from my parents, and he called me, and I said, man, that sounds wonderful. And I went and went in view of a call at that church, and for the next year or so, I was the youth pastor there. And while I was there, I met another guy whose name is Tim Wheat, that was also starting to be a pastor. And the really cool thing is later on in life, me and Tim connected again at a church in Wichita Falls, Texas. And I just go back to that point of what are the chances that Gary Williams is going to be there in that same town where I'm at that college? What are the chances that when he calls, you know, I'm not serving somewhere else and I'm ready for that? What are the chances that intersection would happen? And then how has that affected the rest of my life? It's an incredible thought to say, God did that. You know, it would be easy for me to say that was just coincidence, but I don't think it is. And we see it here. It's not coincidence that Peter and John are going that day. It's not coincidence that this beggar is going to be being carried at the exact moment that Peter and John. It's not a coincidence that they're going to connect. But I'm going to ask you, how many times does God put somebody in your path and you walk right past it? How many times has God aligned an intersection, had aligned someone for your life to intersect with, but because we're not thinking about it, because we're not going, wow, God, you know, why is this person here? Why am I talking to this person? Because that's not part of our mindset. We just walk on past. How easy would it have been that day for Peter and John just to walk past the lame man? Let's jump on down to the next point. Number one, look for people God intersects your life with. Look for people. Make that a mental thing that you do. God isn't going to intersect. Every person that comes into your life isn't a divine intersection, but some of them are. All of them aren't, but some of them are. Number two, give what you got because Jesus is enough. Give what you got because Jesus is enough. Let's read those scriptures. Here we are in verse number three. It says, when he, the beggar, the lame man, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. So here's the first thing that the beggar does. The beggar doesn't know that this is going to be a moment that changes his life. He doesn't know that this is a divine intersection of people. All he knows is, man, this is what I do every day. I ask for money. So he looked at Peter and John, and he said, sir, you know, can I have some money? Now, at this point, another easy thing for Peter and John to do would be just to give him some money and walk on by. That would have been simple. Hundreds, probably thousands of people, you know, at different times as they see someone on the side entering into the temple, you know, they're going to give them money. In fact, that's why they're at the temple, right? You know, they got to figure these Jewish people, they're being very generous. They've got this idea of sacrifice and they're coming in. And this is a good time to ask for help. I want to make a point right here that there's nothing wrong with helping that lame person through giving money. There's nothing wrong. We give lots of money and things to different people. You know, right now we've been taking up canned goods for warm because we want to help people. We want to give them things. Pretty soon we're going to start into, for our Waller Pregnancy Center, having those baby bottles back out, and we're going to start taking up change and money for that. There's nothing wrong with helping people. I get phone calls up here at the church of people who need help with their rent, need help with the electricity. We have a whole thing where we've actually budgeted now so that we can make sure that we keep having money to give out to people. There's nothing wrong with helping people. In fact, I think there's a lot right with it. But I do want to say that as a church, that can't be our main thing. Our main thing can't just be throw some money at it and walk on by. Too many churches, you know, start to get that mentality of here's how we are supposed to be as a church. We're supposed to give to help the physical needs. But we never go farther than that to say, God, is there a reason more than what this person thinks that they're calling here to the church today? Is there a reason more than what that person believes that their need is? Is there something deeper? Because we've got something better than a bunch of canned goods. We've got something better than a bunch of money. We've got Jesus Christ. And until we figure out that we've got to get past just helping, and we talked about it a while back, you know, prayer, care, but then the final one is share. We've got to be willing to share. Let's look at verse number four. It says, verse number three, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Verse four, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. Now, isn't that interesting? How many of y'all have stopped somewhere, like in Cyprus or on into Houston, and there's those people that are asking for money on the side of the road, you know, at the stop sign? If you don't want to give them money, what do you do? Right? You don't want eye contact. Right? You just kind of sit there and you stare because there's something in you. If I give them eye contact, if I enter into their world, now I have to give them something. And it's interesting here that Peter and John, when they saw the man begging there, instead of averting their eyes, they did the exact opposite. They stared at him. Yeah, they looked right at him. Yeah, it was that point where they said, listen, I am willing to enter into your world and see if this is a divine appointment today. Is this a divine interaction? If we do not enter into people's world, we'll never know if God has them there for that moment for a special reason that's going to change everything going on in their lives and maybe in our lives. So part of it is that as we go out there going, God, who are you going to bring me today? Whose life am I going to intersect? We have to be willing to say, I'm willing to look people into the eyes. I'm willing to enter into their world. Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. You know, the man didn't know. He said, I guess I'll look at you because you're going in the temple. You've got some money. I might get some cash from this. You know, he had no idea what was going on. Wouldn't it have been sad if as Peter and John are walking by, they just said, whew, there's a guy. This could be a divine appointment, but I'm too busy to enter into his world. Wouldn't that have been sad? For us, I think one of the biggest thing that Satan just wraps around us is how busy we are. Now, I'm not saying that the busyness isn't something important. I mean, there's so many times it's something with our family or it's something with our work or it's some, but we just load on more and more and more. We've talked about this before, that ministry happens in the margin that we leave in our life. If Peter and John said, no, I got to get in there, I got to do my prayers, and I got to get back because I've got stuff going on, they would have walked right past a point where God had wanted them to intersect. If you want to find out if it's a divine appointment, enter into their world. A very good question is, how are you really doing? I find out so often that if I ask someone, if we're out and I say, hey, let's pray for this waiter or waitress, the first thing you do is you look at them and you go, hey, is there anything I can pray for you about today? And, usually what they go, they'll go, maybe more tips, They'll say something kind of general. And that's okay. If they say something kind of general and you kind of push them a little bit farther and they can't come up with anything, man, I'm going to be praying for tips. I want them to know that God has something more. But so many times, if you're willing to go past that first question, if you're willing to say, I am seriously going to enter in your world, I'm seriously going to get eye contact with you, I'm seriously going to say, what can I really pray about? Suddenly, you'd be surprised at what they'll open up and tell you about. It's that thought of, wait a minute, this person really cares. When Peter says, look me in the eyes, and the man looks him in the eyes, then there is that moment where you can say, what do you really want? Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. So here's that beautiful miracle that went on. The guy has been lame for 40 years, and Peter looks at him, and as the man is ready to get some gold or silver, Peter says, I don't have any gold or silver. Now, we read earlier that the new church is very generous. I don't know if he was actually didn't have any money that day, or if this was just his way of saying, I've got something better than gold and silver. But he says this phrase, what I do have, I will give you. Yeah, it was a miracle. Miracles are definitely something that don't happen every day. Blake, are you saying if we see a lame person, we should go up and enter into their world and get them to stand up and walk? Well, I mean, maybe. Maybe that's what God wants you to do that day. But here, that was a miracle. In fact, we read in the next, it was a sign, a miracle, which is a sign that was completing something that was said in Isaiah about how the lame would get up and jump with joy. But just this thought of, I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you. Here's what God wants you to do. He wants you to look for places where your life intersects with other people. Enter into it, and if they respond, simply give them what you do have. You don't have to be stressed about this. You don't have to go, well, Blake, I'm not theologically trained. I've never led anybody to Christ before. I mean, surely God would pick someone else. No, just do this. Give them what God has given you. Well, what if God hasn't given you anything? I guarantee if you're being a faithful Christian, the stuff we've been talking about, where you said, my life is going to be about praying, reading scripture, and fellowship of the believers, sharpening each other, that if you do that, God's going to have something for you to give them. Maybe it's something you prayed about that that the morning. Maybe it's just a verse that you read. You know, I try to carry some of these little cards around that just have Bible verses on it. If I see a Bible, and if I don't have a card, I'll just make a card that if I see a Bible verse that I've been meditating on, I'm like, oh, this is really good, I'll take that and stick it in my pocket. Well, that would be a great thing to give somebody. You know, if you come, if God intersects your life and with someone else and you go, well, what can I give them? Well, God gave me a verse this morning. Let me give you a verse. You'd be amazed. This one says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And wouldn't that be incredible if someone says, man, I've got this problem I'm worried about. I don't know the right answer. And I look at him and say, look, all I can tell you is this is what Jesus gave me today, that he is going to give you wisdom, and he'll give it to you generously if you would just allow God to do that for you. You should ask God. Couldn't that change somebody? Wouldn't that be incredible? Prayer, scripture, my church, you know. Maybe it's just saying, hey, listen, where I fellowship at, you need to come. You're lonely. Your heart, come to my church. But never forget salvation. It says, I'll give you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He said, this is what you've got to start with. You know, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, let me share that with you. Let me tell you what that, well, Blake, I'm scared to share my salvation. Why? You've got it, right? You're saved. You're not going to lose it. That person may not have it, but the only way to know whether they're saved or not is simply to ask them. Wouldn't it be incredible if God just connected you with somebody who desperately needed Jesus? And just in years going, look, I don't have much to give, but let me tell you about what Jesus did in my life and what a change that could make. And so that takes us into the last point. So the first point, look for people who intersect your life. Second point is give what you've got because Jesus is enough. And this third point is, then take a walk with them. Walk together with them. Watch what it says here. It says in verse 7, taking him by the right hand, he held him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Can you imagine seeing that? I'll just kind of take a side note. If you have been lame for 40 years, I mean, those muscles are atrophied. You know, you've seen people who've been, you know, lame their entire life, those skinny legs. Can you just imagine seeing those legs and those ankles, suddenly those muscles just start growing in there? It says in verse 8, he jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple court. So they went together. Isn't that just a beautiful thought? You came that day to the time of prayer. You know, maybe it's kind of like when we come to church and you're really not expecting something to happen, you know, and you kind of walk in here and everybody's kind of somber and you're just kind of going, okay, you know, I kind of went through the motions again. But this day, there was no motions to go through, because as soon as they said, rise in the name of Jesus Christ, this guy jumped up and he started jumping and dancing and singing. And then they didn't just walk away from him. They said, well, come on in. We're doing prayer time. And can you just get that picture of this guy just, woo, just jumping and walking in? And it says, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And while the man held on to Peter and John, all the people who were astonished came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. It was Solomon's the porch area around the temple gate. Thousands of people came running. Isn't that incredible? It's amazing. Here's three things. When you walk with somebody, once your life has intersected with them, once you've shared what you have to share with them, then if you walk with them for a little while, you know what some things that'll happen? One, it'll restore your joy. Have you been around a new Christian? Have you been around someone who's excited about the Lord like that? Suddenly, that kind of gets on to you, and you start going, wow, you know, maybe I should be excited about what I am doing with my life. Psalms 51 says this, Psalms 51, verse 12, Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. We lose that joy when we cocoon in. But when we start sharing with others, when we start seeing how God impacts others just in these intersections of our life, suddenly our joy starts getting restored. Number two, it fills you with wonder and amazement at Jesus, right? You know, when you see God do something, if Peter and John had just thrown some money in and kept on walking, they wouldn't see God do a miracle. How many miracles do we miss because we just throw money at something? And we don't enter into someone's world, and we don't share Jesus with them. And verse number three, it opens more opportunities. We see when they took that time, the two paths coming together, Peter and John said, I'm going to enter into that man's world. The lame guy gets healed. They walk in. Thousands of people come running. What happens in verse number 12? When Peter saw this, he said to them, fellow Israelites. Peter said, here's a chance to preach to all y'all. Yeah, he didn't get up that morning and say, I'm going to the temple to preach to people. But because he followed through this intersection, suddenly God brought a crowd to him. You know, chapter 4, and we'll get to that in the next few weeks, you know, kind of shows that all the priests at the temple got mad. They got mad because all these thousands of people ran out to see Peter and John. And because there in the temple, Peter started sharing Jesus Christ with all these people. And then we get into a story where he actually gets thrown in jail. And the reason he got thrown in jail is because 2,000 people were added to the church that day. 2,000 people accepted Jesus Christ that day. It started with one intersection. What could God do if our church started looking for intersections? Started saying, you know what, I don't know everything, but I'm going to tell you what God's doing in my life. And then if we took the time to walk with those people and see what God could do through a simple interaction with someone God brought into our lives. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just ask that today you let us see how you bring people together. God, when we're going home, maybe it's just someone we see sitting on their porch. Maybe that's our intersection for the day. God, maybe it's someone at a gas station or a restaurant. Maybe that's our intersection. God, maybe it's somebody we know a lot. Maybe it's a family or friends. Maybe that's our intersection. But God, what I'm going to pray is that you don't let us just walk past them. God, I ask you to restore our joy of our salvation. And God, help us to share with others. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.